We're in the third week of this series, Big Butts of the Bible. And for some people, that's funny. Some people, they snicker. Some people are like, all right, let's get over it. But is an exception. But is kind of a change of directions in a sentence. And so in the Bible, there's so many big butts. Literally, so many things. Last week, we looked at this. But God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so we're looking at multiple directions that God changes. When something seems just lost, when things seem so dark, when things seem so set in stone, but God. And we want to encourage you with that. The problem is we have our own but, right? And we try so often, but God, but she's this way. But I don't want to wear a mask. Yeah, me either. So I'm not up here, 8 feet away from the closest people. I don't love this, and I don't judge you for not doing it. But God has called me to something so much greater than my comfort zone, my ease, my joy. Now, when I delight in the Lord and he calls me to things, I don't fight with him as much, right? I love this. We can delight ourselves in the Lord and he'll give us the passions and the desires of our hearts. And it's him. And so when we're changing directions with a but, we're looking at, but God's strategies are different than ours. But God's love is different than ours. But God's kingdom is different than ours. God's attitude or mind and even mindset different than ours. Look, ability and strength and faithfulness, God's is different than ours. Now, we're being transformed. We're positionally perfect, but we're practically being transformed. We're a work in progress. Jesus died for us to set us free from sin, rose from the dead to set us free from death, and to know that we are being transformed forever. He's faithful. And so we're going to talk about all those things. But today, we're going to talk about how God's kingdom is different. Now, today's message is going to be a little bit different than the last. There's no actual word kingdom in the verses that we're looking at, but his kingdom's all over it. How many of you read the book of Esther? Anybody? Online? I can't tell if you're raising your hand. Put it that in. Okay. Put your hand up. In the book of Esther, you never hear the word God. You don't read the word God in the original. There's no word God, but God's all over it. You're not going to hear the word kingdom in today's passages, but his kingdom and what it looks like is all over these passages. So that leads me to this. What is a kingdom? What do you think, you guys? What's a kingdom?
An area that the king rules over.
Okay. Ben says an area where the king rules over. What else? People who obey said ruler, says Mandy. Thank you. Yes, sir. So it's an area of set boundaries, a domain, so to speak, right? Absolutely. Thanks, Joe. You know, what's freedom? Would it be the domain or the dominion of the free? What would a queendom be? It's the same as a kingdom, but it's the queen, right? How about a popedom? Right? Angie says, gosh, amen. Listen, dom at the end of a word is basically the state or the condition, the domain of something. We're going to talk about God's kingdom today. The challenge is for all of us as human beings, often we're fighting the desire to be our own king or queen. And we, even as Christians, profess Jesus as king, but living for his kingdom has a big but in our life. But when it's not comfortable, but when I don't like the results, but when I don't see him doing things. So if you will, please join me in 1 Peter Literally because of the new mandate, directive, it won't be enforced by the Snohomish County Health District, so do what you want. But all that, we thought, you know what, we might just literally have a huge big butt in the big butts of the Bible and just preach through 1 Peter for the rest of the summer. But there's some other things that we're going to do, so we're going to stick with it. But here we are, 1 Peter 2, 7 through 8. While you're looking that up and while you're getting it together at home there, I want to let you know that if you've been reading through the Bible with us on our Bible app, or, well, our church app, and there's a Bible reading program, you've looked in 1 Peter all the way through, and we're actually jumping into Philippians right now. But early in 1 Peter, we find out that flesh passes, but God and his word and his kingdom lasts forever. So put away all the nastiness of this world and its kingdom in your flesh if you've tasted the goodness of God. We found out that you continually come to him, the one who was rejected by the builders, and you see him as this cornerstone. And so that's where we pick this up, that there's some people that reject Jesus and some people who choose. And friend, I'll say this to you right now. There's people online and people right here with us today that are in that boat. Some that have rejected and some that have accepted. Well, no, we're all here. Look, my mama said this a long time ago. Just because you sit in a church doesn't make you a Christian. Just like sitting in a garage doesn't make you a car. She said that as an excuse to not go to church. When she came to Christ, she realized that kind of fellowship and that kind of pouring into was desperately needed. And we fight for it, even to the tune of jumping through hoops and having an online service. We want people to grow. But we know that some people want him and some people don't, even on a Sunday morning. Here we go. 1 Peter 2, 7 through 8. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who don't believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. To some people, Jesus is all there is, and he's the cornerstone. He's the hope and the joy, and it's his kingdom. And for other people, he's just a stumbling block. He's a problem. What do you do with him? Kill him. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. So I ask you this morning something that John asked you while he was leading communion. He didn't say it quite like this, but I will, and it's on the screen. Is Jesus your king? Is Jesus your king? Or is he just in the way? He just really thwarts your kingdom, and that frosts your hide. How many times do you use that phrase? You're welcome. If Jesus is your king, that means it's his kingdom, his domain, his boundaries, his way, his life, and his death. If you didn't believe it now. His death earned all of that. And he didn't have to earn it. It was given to him, but he laid it down, that he would pick it up again. This King of Kings is not some love sick puppy. He's God Almighty. And he died for us. He died as us. So let's look at what it looks like to have this King Jesus and to live in his kingdom. Because his kingdom, friend, is different than ours. We like shame, blame. We like to put it off on other people. We like to be the kind of people that pay people back. You cut me off, watch this. Anybody experience Highway 2 driving where somebody passes you and then gets right in front of you and then ends up at the light right in front of you? And my deal is like this. You seeing this big forehead? Yeah, I'm looking at you. Good move. You almost killed people to get one car. Payback. Somebody cuts you off, you cut them off. Huh. Somebody disrespects you, you disrespect them. Somebody tells you something that you don't want to do and you need to do it, you either do it with a really bad attitude or you don't do it at all. I showed you. Good job, king. Good job, queen. You're running things like onion rings now, aren't you? You're great. All right, this is how I get in trouble and don't make it to my niece's wedding on time. So I'm practicing on you guys. That reminds me of a story. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Let's go. 1 Peter 2, 9 through 12. So they stumble because they disobey. It says in verse 8, they disobeyed the word as they were destined to do. There are people that were just set apart to not want God. You don't know who they are. I don't know who they are. They will show themselves. And I pray in Jesus' name that they were only destined to wander and then come back. But you, kingdom people, are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Where does the light shine the most, church? In the dark. We prefer the light for shining, if we're just being honest. He called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you, as sojourners, foreigners, and exiles. Where are we foreigners and exiles? Right here. I haven't felt it any more acutely than I have this year. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh. That would be our kingdom, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles, that means people who don't know the Lord, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of his visitation. If you noticed in this series, we have but God, and yet right here in this passage, we have but you. If you are in Christ Jesus, this but God is for you. Not because you're God, but you're in the kingdom. But you are people who once weren't a people, but now are. You once didn't have mercy, but now you do. You once were lost without any kind of hope, but now, boy, you got all the purpose you could possibly need. But you, because of our King, that means we're different too. We're beyond normal. We don't do like the world does. We don't pay back insult for insult. I got to get back to the passage. Verse 13. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution. If you put a butt up right there, stop and listen to the rest. Whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. I also live in the same world as you that is starting to say what's bad is good and what's good is bad. Although that's been going on for a long time, it's really significantly so now. But for those who do evil, who do wrong, who break the law, they will be punished for it. Ultimately, you're like, no, man, have you seen? Like, they can't even chase people anymore. Cops are being, like, defunded is one thing. They're being devalued, declawed. But God. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom, the domain of freedom. Don't use your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God, slaves, those who give themselves over to God willingly because he first gave himself over to us. For us. Honor everyone. That's easy, so hang in there. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. I have some notes, and I'm just going to read straight from them. Our behavior as servants is the response to Jesus' example as servant king. His humility allows us not simply to rule keep, but to have as the motivation of why we do what we do, that we've been set free by the King of Kings, and nothing can separate us from his love. Nothing. This is beyond normal. Do you know, friends, that if Jesus is our king, we get to follow Jesus as our king? Shouldn't we start to look like him? Many of us want to look like him when he comes back the second time. You shut up. You talking. Shut your mouth when you're talking to me. You bow. You do what I tell you to do. Don't you know that my name's etched in the Lamb's book of life and in his righteous right hand? You shut your mouth. I'm in charge. That's how we often go about things. Not quiet, humble, gentle, but we're the body of Christ. Kiss my ring. We get to follow King Jesus. What does he look like? Let's continue to read. 1 Peter 2:18 through 25. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect. Do any of you have masters other than Jesus? Thanks. It's real. We do. Not only to the good and the gentle ones, but, and this is a big but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, where's my focus? Him and his kingdom. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if when you sin and are beaten for it, that you hang in there, that you endure for doing something stupid? But if when you do good and you suffer for it, you endure. This is a gracious thing. Second time that he says this, gracious thing. In the sight of God. Can you remind me what grace is? Anybody, just a quick definition. I'm learning on this service. I'll probably not spend as much time blabbing. I'll just go more. But I'm going to ask you, what's grace? Yes, ma'am.
Getting what you don't deserve.
Getting what you don't deserve. Would humbling yourself and serving an unjust master be something that that unjust master deserves? It's a gracious thing to suffer for doing what's right. We're down for that, but it looks better in Casey. Good job. You're so humble. I wish I was more like you, but I'm not gonna because it looks like it hurts. It's a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you've been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. Might is a really strong word there.
I might.
But really what it's saying is, this is so you can. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that's the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you've been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. This is beyond normal, and it's an identity check. I'm going to fast forward to 1 Peter 3, 8 through 12. 1 through 7 gives this sweet treatise on what a beautiful woman's really beautiful with, and that's the adornment of this quiet spirit and all that. And there's also a passage in there that says, Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And he's like, hey, women, you should be like that. And I could hear a lot of dudes are like, it is in the Bible, you call me Lord. Please read that in humility. But it also says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. Finally, he says, and then there's two more chapters. But anyways, finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil. This should remind you of Romans 12 a little bit. Or reviling for reviling. But on the contrary, but bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. Be like Jesus and you're blessed. You know, the blessing of the kingdom is, wait for it, the king. And then we get to live like him, and that's a blessing continually. And this is from Psalm 34. I was going to totally preach like a second message today off of Psalm 34, but you're going to have to go enjoy that yourself. It's really powerful about the fear of the Lord. Because I think our fear today is too small. We're more afraid of this and you and problems than we the awe and the reverence of God. So whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now who is there to harm you if you're zealous for what's good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you'll be blessed. And I win. As a kingdom person, I win no matter what. You win no matter what. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. Oh, okay, thanks. That's easy. No, it's not. But you win. Our king and his kingdom is what will last forever. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, as different, as set apart, as perfect. Always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that's in you. For some of us, when we go door to door on September 12th, there's going to be people like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? And we're going to tell them, because Jesus loves you, because Jesus loves us. We want to be able to remind you of that. It's more than $100. It's more than a Bible. It's more than even me stopping and praying with you. It's a God who's crazy about you. That's why we're doing this. That's why we have hope. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you're slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. Again, at this point, some of us are like, okay, I can do this because then I'll put them to shame. No, if putting them to shame is your focus, you're not going to do this. You might, oh, God bless you. And in your mind, it's not those words you're thinking. But your good behavior, like you just living for him. I love that Jesus says, you want to be great? Be the servant of all. Do you know that when you're the servant of all and you're putting yourself last, you're not thinking about being great. You're thinking about others and you're putting others ahead of you and you're taking care of others. That's greatness. You're nailing it and you're not even trying. This is why more times than not, moms get the props. Because they're not thinking about it. They're just doing it. Mother's Day. In prison is where men and women who are incarcerated to call their mamas and tell them how amazing they are. Father's Day is a lot less like that. And there's collect calls that happen on that day, if there's calls at all. I'm not saying dads don't, but I think a lot of times us as men, we're like, that's too humiliating. Laying down my life, humbling myself, that's too much. Then you don't want Jesus's kingdom. Having a good conscience so that when you're slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than suffering for doing evil. That should make sense, right? For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. I had a question, and if you don't mind, Pete, we'll go back to it just for a second. Is fear of God or fear of man a bigger deal to you? And to be funny, but also to kind of cinch this for us, if you fear man, you're looking at the wrong butt. God's kingdom is different, friends. When he says here at the end, being put to death, Jesus, in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, that's the same for us. We die to ourselves daily, but we're made alive in the spirit. Whose kingdom are you living for? If you need to repent, if you've been fighting the way the world fights, you've been angry, you've been divisive, good news. He allows us to repent and to turn back. Look, I think some people could read this passages, and say, that's why I'm fighting for no masks and no vaccinations and all that. I don't understand that application, but I'm still your brother if you do. I get that you could read that and go, no, we're bold, strong, courageous. We need to make sure we're still meeting. Okay. I want that too. But I'm going to be above reproach. I live in a place where I get told what some of these rules are. How many of you in this room have to wear masks? I won't even talk about the vaccination requirement that many occupations are now getting. How many of you have to wear masks at work or you're going home? So you understand what it means to lay your life down every single day. If you're doing that for a paycheck, but you won't do that for the kingdom of God, wake up. If you're like, but I love being at church and not having to wear them. We love you. Did you catch anybody enforcing masks today? We're not gonna. I'm gonna wear it partially because I'm trying to fake it till I make it, if I'm just being real with you. But the other part is that I actually believe that this is a way for me to shame the people that say, those church people are just a bunch of trumpeteers. And don't get it twisted. I don't think Trump is the devil, and I don't think he's Jesus. I certainly don't think the same about Biden, but I'm closer to thinking he might be a chumpalificus than, anybody else. But the reality is, they're not my focus, friends. If they are, I got my kingdom all jacked up. I'm focusing on Jesus, and I want to live it out. And I invite you to do the same in the ways that he convicts you to do, but they have to be consistent with who he is. He set us an example. Would you go look at what that is this week and actually follow it? Many of you already are. Some of you aren't. And it's time. What are you waiting for? Christmas? I love Christmas, but boy, he actually lived and died and rose too. He wasn't just born. So Father, even you being in this position where you would give your son, that he would be born of a woman, just is so mind-boggling. and it's your kingdom. God, you're the ruler. We're your servants. Help us, because of our King, to be different too. God, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.